What up? What up, y'all? It's your man, D-Real, the Black Panther, stalking the urban jungle in Vibranium Adidas, bringing you another session of Be Real with D-Real. Today is January 24th, 2019. First, let me just start off by saying, what's up? Hope y'all had a good week so far. Mine has been unceremoniously crappy. Usually when you're doing stuff to help people, and they don't seem to appreciate the help that you're giving to them, it puts you in some kind of mood. But I know I was doing my podcast tonight, and it's kind of a tender subject, so I'm going to try to tread as respectfully as I can. Ain't no easy way to get into talking about it. If y'all been paying attention, you know, to my Facebook page and things like that, I want to talk about suicide, okay? If my Alaskan people is tuned in tonight, then y'all know how it is in Alaska when it comes to suicide. The rates fluctuate up and down Alaska wise, but for as long as I can remember, we have always led the country in suicide rate. And this is an interesting statistic, just to give you some sort of idea of how prevalent it is. In 2015, more people died in Alaska from suicides than people died in homicides. So that gives you some kind of idea of how prevalent it is. But I don't want to just you know, hog Alaska and spend all this time talking about Alaska. Suicide, period, is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. And just to give you some sort of idea, the last statistic on it was in 2017. In 2017, 47,173 Americans died by suicide, and another 1.3 million attempted suicide. Little side note, $69 billion is the cost to the U.S. due to self-injury. $69 billion. If folks were not killing themselves, that's how much money could be saved. But that's neither here nor there. I'm not tripping on that. It's just, I've been hearing a lot of people talking about killing themselves. What would possess one to want to kill themselves? I mean, you're that okay, before I get any deeper, let me just give you I'm a social worker by profession. Got a background in sociology and psychology. And people that contemplate or are attempting openly to commit suicide, it should be a no-brainer. They are dealing with some form of advanced anxiety or depression, some kind of PTSD. Something of that nature. I'm not saying everybody who commits suicide suffers TSD, but a lot of people who end up committing suicide do so because of some sort of trauma, some sort of situation in their lives that was traumatic, and they were never able to just completely shake that. I'm here because I'm reaching out and to people directly. If you are feeling some kind of way, I just want to let y'all know first of all, I'm here for you. If you need to talk, if you just need to vent, if you want somebody to listen to you, I'm here to listen, man. I'll listen to you. The last thing you want to do is in yourself. That's not where we want to be. And also, 877-266-HELP That's 4357 is the number to call if you are in Alaska and you are having issues and you need to talk to someone. You can also text 839-863 to 39863. Between Tuesdays and Saturdays, 3 p.m., 11 p.m. I think that's weird that they got a time frame between that. It should be somebody manning that at all times. But that's just my thought. Another interesting stat, more men commit suicide than women do. Do we get lower faster? I don't know. 646-668-2268 is the number if you want to call in, if you want to share an experience, if you want to ask a question, if you got something that you feel like you need to be saying or that you want to say. For every 100,000 Alaskans, 24.4 died by suicide. And that was in 15, and that number dropped back down to 21. But we're still the leading state in suicide. A lot of people say it's because of seasonal affective disorder. I am inclined to disagree with that, and the reason for that is this. I do research on subjects before I come to y'all and bring it to you, and I was talking with a friend of mine, and I was telling them about this show and the plans that I had, and I was on that thing where it's like, oh, seasonal affective disorder. Yeah, that is a cause for depression, but not necessarily suicide, because countries like Switzerland and Norway, who have these long winters and these dark nights just like we do, they don't have a high suicide rate. The suicide rate in Norway is 1.68%. Okay, so that's for every 100,000 people in Norway, you got two people who want to end their life. What's the difference? Just off top, traumatic experiences. I will share with you an experience that I had, and she had been cheating on him for a while. And rather than confront her and say, I know what you're doing, that's fucked up, I'm kicking rocks, went and got an entire bottle of sleeping pills, took them, went to sleep, then wake back up. That bugs me. I mean, that's like 20 plus years ago, and I still, you know, kind of think about that. Like, man, how low, how empty, how depressed do you have to be to say, I'm done. I don't even feel like breathing no more. I'm done. Now, I keep coming back to Alaska when we're talking about statistics, but staggering that I have to, man. It's like, for instance, like I said, Alaska has the highest rate of suicide per capita in the country. The rate of suicide in the United States, the whole United States, was and these are stats from 2015, was 11.5. Entire country, suicide rate, 11.5. Alaska's rate, 21.8 suicides per 1,000 people. We had 1,369 suicides between 2000 and 2009. And for anybody wanting to do the math, that's an average of 136 deaths by suicide per year. The highest number of suicides was like 167. That's the one I was telling you about where there was more suicides than there were homicides, 167, and it was only like 124 homicides. At least one suicide occurred in 176 different Alaskan communities between 2000 and 2009. There are villages all over Alaska. You got three major cities, Fairbanks, Juneau, and Anchorage. numbers. Like 500,000 people here, that's a lot of people offing themselves. Alaskan Native men between the ages of 15 and 24, highest rate of suicide. Those who attempt suicide have usually been exposed to some sort of psychosocial stressors. Depression. So there it is right there in a nutshell, right? Psychosocial stressors. Psychosocial stressors can be traumatic events. A psychosocial stressor can be something as simple as you getting your ass kicked in a nightclub in front of a bunch of people. A psychosocial stressor can be something like being sexually molested by a relative. A psychosocial stressor can be a job that has a high stress level that you have difficulty maintaining. People that commit suicide are often heard saying things, and this is things you got to be aware of so you know that they may be on that path. Things like, I'm empty. I can't take this anymore. I don't know how much longer I can go on. Listening for those kind of things in people's conversation. And I know, especially here, but I mean, just in general, we really, 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 really need to be more super mindful around us. I mean, we are so caught up in all kinds of other crap, politics, movies, television, what famous people are doing, what famous people ain't doing, trying to be on social media and be something that we're not, but we aren't giving that attention potentially to people who need it. I'm not saying drop what you're doing and go on an anti-suicide crusade, but at the same time, I'm saying it's something you need to be mindful of, because the rate of PTSD between 1991 and now has went up astronomically, something like 13-14%. That's a lot in 20-something years. That's a lot for that many people to be dealing with it. You got a lot of ex-military. And I can tell you from experience, there are major psychosocial stressors if you're someone who's in the military. I mean, you got to be cut from a certain kind of mold to be able to deal with some of the stuff you see and hear in the military and not have some kind of issues behind it. You know what I'm saying? I was in the Navy for 6 years, 6 months, and 21 days. And I spent a lot of that time on an aircraft carrier. I spent a lot of that time overseas. I spent a lot of that time in places where there were people who wanted to hurt me simply because of the clothing I was wearing. That's stressful. That's very, very, and I'm not going to lie, at the time I was dealing with that, of course, because it was like right around Desert Storm, and you know, you worrying about, oh, you got to go overseas and deal with this foolishness. I was in the throes of an estranged marriage. We were not quite divorced yet, but we were going through it. So suffice to say, I was dealing with some serious psychosocial stressors, and I can't sit here and tell my story because I didn't kill myself, and I didn't even attempt behind it. It was just kind of a thing where, I don't know, we're not all built the same. Some of us deal with stress better than others, and that's the best way I can put it. Again, 877-266-HELP. Suicide Hotline. Or text 4. Number 4, H-E-L-P, 2-839-863. This is important, y'all. We need to know these kinds of things just so we can know how to deal with them. You know what I mean? A lot of times we don't really want to talk about it. And it needs to be talked about, because in talking, we learn. Time on my podcast, I do not bring information to people to try to change their minds. I simply present new information that you may not have known and say, move on there. What are some things that you can do to take action against potential suicide? You can volunteer. I have been told that volunteering at a for a suicide prevention hotline or something of that nature is a very rewarding experience if you can grasp what your role is. Situation, you're there to be an ear. You're not there to talk somebody down. I mean, if you have those kinds of skills, then by all means, get in there and go for it. You know what I'm saying? Another suicide prevention text, and this is outside of Alaska, you can text HOME to 741741 if you want to speak to somebody, if you are feeling some kind of way. Again, that's home, HOME. Text it to 741741. This is important to know, in my mind, in my purview. It's important to have tools to be able to deal with sort of a thing. It's really, for me, it's a scary thing to know that somebody close to you or somebody related to you, because I have family members that have committed suicide. And for me, I have difficulty wrapping my mind around the why. I mean, I get it. I comprehend the why people do what they do, but that doesn't change the fact that it's not easy for me to wrap my brain around it. And I say to people who are contemplating suicide or have attempted suicide, think about people who care about you. And if you feel like nobody cares about you, you won't know that till you ask somebody. You know what I mean? You don't know doing, you know, unless you know. I mean, just like I was talking to an old classmate of mine from back in the day, and he was, you know, relating a story to me about, you know, somebody who was really super talented. I hope he calls in. He said he was going to. I hope he calls in. 646-668-2268. But long story short, somebody with an incredible amount of talent. And was receiving accolades, was name was ringing all over the place, and they felt the need to end it all. So what that tells me is you're just one off day from entertaining suicidal ideation. And that's what we call it, you know, from a professional standpoint. If you are, you know, contemplating it, if you are thinking about it, just like for instance, I saw a post from someone and it shocked me. I saw a post from someone and they were basically saying in a nutshell, you know, suicide. I'm thinking about suicide. They didn't come right out say, I'm thinking about suicide, but tell from the way they were posting. They weren't posting like, okay, I'm trying to get information about suicide, because that's what they were trying to make people think. That's what they. I'm contemplating suicide, but I'm not saying I'm contemplating suicide. I'm thinking about suicide, so I'm talking about it. The only, and this is just me. That's my opinion. Nobody else's. If you are talking somebody you're concerned about who may potentially be suicidal or may be entertaining suicidal ideation, that turns a light on with everybody around you, or at least the people who care about you, or at least it should. Does that make sense, realist? You know, if I'm sitting around talking about, well, you know, what are your thoughts on suicide? Immediately, your response should be, I don't have any because I'm not fucking thinking about killing myself. What are you on? Literally. I mean, I don't mean to be that brutal with it, but sometimes we need to let people know the jig is up. Because I don't know a lot of people who are just like, oh, I want to end it all. Oh, just so stressful. There may be people like that, but I'm just saying I've never heard anybody go about it that way. Usually, if somebody's deadly serious about offing themselves, about committing suicide, they're not broadcasting it to people. You know what I mean? It's not something you go out and say, feeling low, I'm about to go and take this pistol and put it to my head and do myself in. Nobody talked about that. What are some other things that you can do to take action against suicide or to prevent suicide? You know, you can go to a school and talk to kids. Like I said, 15 to 24. That's the window here in Alaska. So going to a school and letting people know, giving a gift to an organization that's an advocate for suicide prevention. Your dollars can help them to do what they need to do to continue keeping those lines open, to do research, to create programs for people who need some sort of program because they're low, because they're feeling empty, because they're at the end. Those kinds of things. We can help people. We can be, you know, not to, you know, go and do the Gandhi thing, but we can be the change that we want to see. Can we not? I mean, we fight and advocate so vigorously for other things. Why can't we vigorously for suicide prevention? You know, and a lot of people, I might be rolling, you know, really, 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 really hard. But I want to tap in and talk about for a second risk factors. What kind of risk factors are involved with suicide? And just so you know, there's no cause of suicide. I mean, I know earlier I had mentioned, you know, traumatic psychosocial stressors, but let's hear what the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention has to say about that. They say suicide most often occurs when stressors and health issues converge to create an experience of hopelessness and despair. Depression is the most common condition associated with suicide, and it is often undiagnosed and untreated. I have a caller. I am going to bring him in.
Hello.
Yo, yo, what's up? What's up? You on the air. Who it is? What you want? What you doing?
Hey, how you doing, man? Is this D-Real?
It is the one and only D-Real. What's happening?
Hey, Hey, man, this is Mr. Carter, man. I'm the guy that spoke with you earlier, your old high school buddy. Just spoke with you about 15 minutes ago.
I know who you is. I'm just being professional. But
nothing wrong with that.
Go ahead, Mr. Carter. What's on your mind, bro?
Man, I just kind of wanted to speak on your topic for tonight, and it's really touching home. I guess I could still call him a friend, even though I can't, because he died as a friend, but he committed suicide, man. And like you were saying, the guy, man, I mean, he had it going on to where I was his, like, booking agent and promoting his shows and things, getting little few gigs here and there. And we did we got him on America's Got Talent, got him on kind of a knockoff of that called, what was the name of that show? I think it was a Soundstage. And he won first place in that. And what I'm getting at, man, is you never know what's going through a person's mind. You could be the richest person. You could have, like the gal that was a designer or whatever that took her life. You just never know what's going on in somebody's mind. And I certainly didn't, man. He had me fooled. I thought that everything was all right. He came by here by my place that day and was talking, about he was sick and tired of this, and he was, and his people, he's going through some things with his family and all this and that, and then he gonna deal with they ass when he see them. And so in my mind, I'm thinking that he's got some issues with somebody, and he gonna, kick somebody's ass, or pardon my language, whoop on somebody.
That's okay. We're grown here. You can say whatever's on your mind.
Okay. I didn't want to screw the show up. But, man, listen, let me get to the meat and potatoes of this, man. The guy's name is Cedric Newsom, all right? I'm going to give you everything real quick in a nutshell. He became a real good friend of mine. He showed me that everything he said to me, I could believe it, man. Before a show or something, he might be low on cash. Hey, RC, man, can I get a little 50 spot till after we get through with the show? No problem. As soon as the show was over with, man, he expeditiously, immediately paid me my money back. When he say he'd be here at 9 o'clock so we could rehearse or whatever, he'd be here at 8:50. I mean, I had no reason to doubt not one word of his. And so when he came by my place before he committed suicide, he came with love and cool and happy. I didn't have a clue. He was just saying that he was going through some things with his wife and family, and he was tired of her ass. And her brothers, he married a Caucasian woman, and her family didn't too much like his black ass. And so they they were threatening him, and he would call me and tell me, yeah, man, them MS, man, come out, they going to do something to me when they see me and stuff, because I told my wife that, it's not working out or something and this, that, and the other. And so, man, he said, man, so I went and got this. And this is a shotgun, and he was standing in my house with it. So I grabbed the damn thing, man, because he's my partner, man. We got too much to lose. I'm getting 20% off of all the income, off of all the shows I booked for him. He was getting busy. We was moving up that ladder real one step at a time, but we was moving. When he came by and I seen that thing, I grabbed it from him. I say, man, no, man, look, you, what you doing, man? No, you don't need to go hurt nobody, man. Just call the law or stay away from them. Stay out the limelight, man. Don't be in their face. No, man, hell with that, man. No, man, I'm fucking them up. Someone's pardon me once again, but I understand we're gone. But, man, I'm fucking them up. Soon as I see them. So I said, man, no, man, that ain't the thing to do, man. Just be cool, man. Just relax, man. You got too much to lose, man. I'm just, look, man, I got three shows booked for you back to back to back, man. We gonna get $500 for this show, $700 for this show, a few hundred dollars for this show, plus tips, plus we sell CDs. Come on, man. Like, hey, man, look, you don't need to get in no shit. So he was like, man, look, give me my shit back. You know, he pretty big guy like myself. We both about 6'4". You know, we probably can go blow for blow, but that's my partner, man. I don't want to hurt him. I said, all right, man, look, man, I'm just telling you, man, I got your back, man. You don't need to get into it. You need me to ride with you? You need me to go with you, man? You know, we want to go set up or something, go see what's going on. You want to talk to him? No, nah, hell no. Nah. They already said what they said. Ain't no talking. So I let the man be. And now, I should have known something, man. I hurt so bad, man, because I didn't realize that because he was always so real. But what was actually going on, D, is that he was going through a mental thing in his mind that was telling him that his wife was cheating on him, that was telling him all kind of stuff that wasn't true. But he made me believe it because, once again, he was so real with me and so honest and just called me about everything. Man, all I got is a, but don't you wear 13 size 13s? Yeah, man, I got these old raggedy shoes. Man, I got a show tonight. Man, you think I could borrow a pair of shoes? Of course, man. I mean, we just became two peas in a pod, man. And so this mental thing he was going through, I didn't know about it. So when he left my house, he goes home with that same shotgun that I should have ran out the door with or locked in my closet or something and just fought his ass. I'd rather take a beating or give him out, dish out one than for I could consider a true friend to be gone now. But anyway, man, he calls me. I mean, he gets home. He leaves here 15, 20 minutes, a few ticks later. I get a text message from him, and it's a picture of him crying with that shotgun that I just saw in his mouth. And I got that picture in my phone now, and I everybody say you ought to erase it, but I can't. I can't just, it's like my last memory. I can't let it go. And so when he did that, I rushed to him, and they got him on a stretcher, taking him to the hospital with the back of his head missing. And I'm gonna say this, and then but what I'm getting at is that, man, you just never know. So, people, we need to start looking for the signs. He texted me about a week previous to that and was like, man, I'm tired of this shit. And I'm thinking he's tired. We ain't making enough money. He's tired of being in Kansas City. He always talked about we going to be riding G5s or whatever kind of powerful jets that are, that we going to be all over the world and we going to Florida and we need to take a vacation tomorrow and we gonna blow up. And so you just don't know what's going on in a person's mind. When he texts me that text about I'm tired of this shit, I didn't know, D-Real, man. I didn't know that he was saying I'm tired of living. I'm tired of this life. He said I'm tired of this shit, and that meant, so when people talk, we need to listen to them, man. We need to be some listening ears, man.
Yeah. Yeah, so true, so true. Man, your story, man, when you told it to me the first time, man, I was really moved by it. And I like I said, I don't know if you was listening, but I related a similar story, partner of mine, when I was living in California, and basically, you know, he took his own life, you know, because his wife was cheating on him.
Yeah, I heard that.
But what I find, there's talk, there's behavior, and there's a mood. Three different things, okay?
Right.
That should be warning signs, okay? People will talk, okay, about feeling hopeless. They'll talk about having no reason to live. They'll talk about feeling trapped. They'll talk about being a burden to other people. That kind of conversation is a trigger. It's a potential warning. They're crying out. They're saying, I need somebody to address me. Okay. Behavior, you know, and that's something you can see visibly. Okay. If you are contemplating suicide or you thinking about suicide, if you're drinking alcohol, if you're a person who drinks alcohol or does drugs, you do more of it. Sometimes people look, they actively look for ways to end their lives. You know what I'm saying? And that's the tricky part, that you have to really be looking at somebody and knowing them, because when you're looking for a way, it's like, oh, you searching online, you going to gun stores, you contemplate the best way you could do this quickly without a whole bunch of people knowing about it, those kinds of things. When people become withdrawn from activities, when people start isolating themselves, when they ain't sleeping enough, when they sleeping too much, you know, that's behavior that you need to look at and say, are you okay? What's going on with
right.
you? Is there something I can do to help? People visiting you or calling you or coming by your house and saying certain things, sort of like what you were saying, that your man was saying to you, or I'm just coming by to say bye, you ain't going to see me for a while. That kind of stuff. They get aggressive. You know what I'm saying? Their mood, they're depressed, they're anxious. They lose interest in stuff that used to give them joy. You know what I'm saying? They get easily agitated, you know, or they feel
yeah.
like they really need to do something to improve themselves. These are all clear warning signs that, you know, they might potentially be suicidal, or they might potentially be entertaining suicidal ideation. So I know that's not something that we normally look for in our everyday lives.
Right.
But suicide is some real shit. You know what I'm saying? It's a very real thing. We don't even know. It could have been historical. You know what I'm saying? Does he have a history of suicide in his family? You know?
Let me ask you this. What about the person that kind of doesn't show you so much those signs? What about the person that's able to disguise that, man? You know, like, for instance, like I was saying, if a person tells you, hey, man, listen, all right, we got a show tomorrow night. Okay, RC, being me, him being Cedric, telling me, hey, man, we got a show tomorrow night. I'll be ready for it, man. And I'll be a little early, or whatever. You want me to come by here first, or what? And if that person tells you that, you know, you automatically, yeah, come on by, yeah, we'll get ourselves together, go through a couple songs or something, and, you know, rehearsal type deal, yeah, come by here around about 6. All right, man, well, I'll see you then. And then 15 minutes later, put a shotgun in their mouth and kill themselves, man. There's no way that. I mean, and I'm beating myself up about this, D, man. I mean, because I'm the last person that saw him, and it seemed like I could have did something, but I just believed in him. Every word he said, I never saw a lie in him, man. Never. You know, some people tell you, yeah, man, I'll be by there around about 6 or 7, and you know the damn well this Negro lying. You know that. You know damn well he's lying. But,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But some people are able to hide that, to mask that, man, and he was very good, because I mean, he literally had me fooled.
So what about
that song? Did you hear that song?
He was talking about Kansas City. Yeah.
It's called For the City.
I listened to it. That was, the man got talent there, or had talent. There's no doubt in my mind that ultimately he'd have done something. He'd have done something big. He'd have been somebody that you could be super proud of.
Right.
Because he had talent. He had a gift. He definitely had a gift. The only thing I could say, RC, man, you can't do anything about something you're unaware of. You feel me?
Yeah,
so
true.
First thing I want to say, brother, don't beat yourself up about it, because it's not.
Man,
I
look like an old battered. I look like an old battered 79-year-old man. I'd have beat myself up. I mean, I literally don't look like that, but I'm saying mentally, I've done, man. I wake up, man, at night, man, sometimes sweating. I wake up at night sometimes crying. I walk through the day, I'm building my little house, doing my construction work, thinking about the guy all the time, man. It's just like, man, why I didn't see when he said, I'm tired of this shit, why I didn't just say, come over, man, let's talk about it. Why when he had that thing, why come I didn't realize that he wasn't getting ready to go kill nobody or hurt himself, hurt somebody else. He was getting ready to do this to himself, man. I'm telling you, man, I done prayed over this, and it just won't stop, man. A night of fun can't stop it, man. Nothing can stop it. It's engraved in my heart, my mind, my spirit, my soul, and it's like, I play his songs. My friends tell me, man, damn, every time I get in your car, you got I Can Be Your Cool Breeze on. You got Cedric Newsom playing. You got This Is For The City, man. You got his music playing. And it's like, man, it gives me peace of mind. It comforts me. It drives my tears up, man.
Hey, have you talked to somebody, man, like a pastor or a counselor or, you know, somebody you trust or you feel comfortable relating stuff to that might be able to, you know, speak into your life and give you some kind of peace on the matter?
I'll tell you what, I'm not sure if you realize that, but I'm talking to somebody now about it.
Seriously, not really. Okay. Right, because we only going to be on the line for 45 more minutes. I mean, I don't know if what you need to discuss and get off your chest and find closure with is going to be done in 45 minutes. You feel me?
Right. Yeah, of course.
So my thing is, I mean, I can tell you what I can tell you, and, you know, just from my professional perspective, it's just talking about things like that and getting a different perspective a lot, because you can't sit around and beat yourself up over some shit that you had absolutely no control over. None, man. I mean, it's tragic. It's a terrible thing to have happen, and it touched you in a way that you feel like, you know, you can't let go of it. And my fear for you, RC, is that you might fall into some sort of depression because you're dwelling on it in the negative. At least that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah,
I mean, you said his music, gives you peace. His music gives you peace. It gives you comfort. Dwell on that peace, man. Dwell on that comfort. Don't dwell on the tragedy.
Well,
you know, I think about, you know, like I got cats, you know, that I, you know, threw up with that was, you know, A1s from day one that ain't here no more, man. And it's like, I miss them, you know what I'm saying? And you know, I pour out a little liquor for them, but I'm not, I'm not going to keep, you know, rehashing it and saying, oh, if I coulda, shoulda, woulda. Man, if coulda, shoulda, wouldas was real shit, we'd all be rich, bruh.
Yeah, man, I didn't mention that, man. He got a baby. When he did this, something was really going on with him, man, because just think about this. His first child, he had a little baby, man, that was on the way, that was due, I think in November he killed himself, September 23rd of 2017, and his baby was due, I think, in November, man. So it's like his first child, and that's all he talked about. I mean, he made up song. I got videos of him talking about his son, and he can't wait to teach his son how to play the guitar just so he'll have a backup plan and all this kind of stuff. And then, so something must have just triggered, like, quickly, real quickly, man. It did. I don't know if he was contemplating on this because he never talked to me about it, but I'm saying and for him to be, you know, knowing you got a child on the way, you just got married a year previous to that, you got your first boy, a junior or whatever, on the way. I mean, you know, you growing up, man, you number one on song stage. You done did performances on America's Got Talent. Man, it ain't too many people with talent that he make it to America's Got Talent.
That's true. That's,
man,
very true.
But I want to reassure you of this, that I know that we all can go through some things and where we can break down and stuff, and you just don't know if you fool around with that devil or that fire, you're gonna get burnt. You know, but man, I stay rooted in my God. I believe in myself. And I know damn well that I'm saying this now, but you just never know. You could say, damn, we just talked about that. Now he killed himself. But I rest, you rest assured that that's far from my mind. It's just that I want to, what's hurting me is that I want to help. I realize that I can't bring him back. Ain't nothing I can do about that. Of course, I'm beating myself up over it. But my comfort and closure can come by me telling my story, number one. And number two, reaching out to people and dealing with people like my old friend Daryl, and elaborating
right.
on this and conversating over this, that we may, somebody listening to us right now may be thinking that they want to kill yourself, But I tell you, man, if somebody love you, man, don't do it. Hey, go talk to somebody, man. You know what I'm saying? And so I really want to reach out to somebody, man. I want to reach out right now. Anybody under the sound of my voice, my name is R.C. Carter. Contact information, if you want to talk to me or something, you can get it from D-Real, from Daryl. I want to tell you right now, man, that man, I don't know you, but I love all human beings, good, bad, wicked. I love them all, man. I have no hell to put you in and no heaven to put you in. So I can't judge you. All I want to do is let you know that you are somebody to somebody. You mean something to something. You are something. You are somebody. I don't give a damn if you're broke or you're hungry, you're out in the cold. Hey, man, just keep on fighting against that devil. And you tell him, man, I'm going to get out this cold, and then go do something to get out that cold. If you want to hurt yourself, hey, man, you need to think about, man, you wasn't created to hurt yourself. You was created to help people. You was created to be fruitful, to multiply, you was to be successful. If so, what you going through something right now, you can come out of that. You can come out of that slump. I've been there before. I slept in my car before. I used to take a shit out in front of people's house. I mean, abandoned houses. Man, I go in an abandoned house and take a shit. I mean, I'm telling you, man, I've been down, but I kept fighting. I kept believing in myself. I kept saying, this too shall pass. I kept saying, man, I can do it, man. I'm a be something. I'm going to start me a company or something. And right now, man, I work on people's houses. You got people here in the Kansas City, be real. Let them know about me. Go on my business page, Texas 95 Remodeling LLC. You'll see my work. I'm not trying to put in something to get money. And I'm just saying that I at one point I didn't have shit. Nothing, man. All I had was a car. I slept in my damn car. I went to gas stations to wash up. You hear me? And now I couldn't
hear
myself, but I said, hell no, I'm going to cut this short, man. I said, hell no, I ain't doing it. I believe in myself. I'm going to be somebody. And right now I ain't saying I'm rich or successful, but I home is taken care of. I'm riding good. I'm looking good. I'm smelling good. I'm feeling good. So don't do it. I'm just one last. I'm gonna end my little time with this, man. Anybody under the sound of my voice, please, if you're feeling negative or down about yourself, man, just stop and think. It's always somebody doing better than you. It's always somebody worse than you. So we all the same. Just don't hurt yourself, man. Go out, reach out to somebody. You are somebody. You are somebody. You got a mother and a father. You have uncles, nephews, nieces, aunties, and sisters. I'm sure they don't all hate you, and if they do, so damn what? Don't hate yourself because somebody hates you. You are somebody. I mean, I'm through, man. I'm getting all up. I'm emotional and stuff.
I hear it in your voice, man. I hear it in your voice, Kitty. But you know what, man? You are probably or have been an inspiration to somebody under the sound of your voice. And like I said at the top of the show, I'm not trying to change nobody. I'm just presenting information that you may not know, and what you choose to do with it is up to you. You on my podcast, you talking, you might be inspiring somebody, you might be snapping somebody out of something. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I'm the vessel being used to help you affect change with somebody. You feel me?
That's exactly what it is.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I'm here, man. And like I got your number now. And
yes,
I called
sir.
You earlier, so you should have mine.
I got you. Locked and
okay.
loaded, man.
Bruh,
yeah.
don't be no stranger, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, man, listen, man, we got each other's number, man. And if you need somebody, man, shoot the to come on and speak on something, man. I claim that, you know, most people that come from Lincoln Academy high school, you know, they were pretty intelligent. You had to keep a certain grade. So I think I'm intelligent enough to handle any topic, man. And I pretty much right now I got this news on, man. That's all I watch. I pay attention to this kind of, to what's going on around me. So if current events or current affairs, anything you need to talk, I'll be there for you, man.
Well, brother, I'm here every week, same time. So you could just tune in. I will start including you on the post before I do it. Okay.
Okay,
so if
that's
you want to
cool.
call in,
yeah,
bro,
cool.
I'm here. If you want to call in, I'm here. This is what I do on Thursday night.
every Thursday night, I'm gonna be there for you. Hey man,
I appreciate this time, man.
I appreciate this topic, man. That's nice of you. That's real good of you, man. Because you're doing the work of that people don't do, man. That's real good to reach out to these people and let them know, man, how you feel about that. That's a very good topic, man.
I appreciate it, bro. I appreciate it. I'm just trying to be the change I want to see.
Hey man, let me ask you a question. Your followers, your people, the people on the sound of my voice, do they know you as one bad dancing mother? Shut your mouth in high school, man. Do they know you as a rude boy? Do they know that?
hey, Kenny, I don't want to toot my own horn, man. You know what I'm saying?
I just got
to toot
it, damn it.
yeah. Some of them know. Some of them know,
yeah,
and if they don't know,
he's dancing ass.
He's where you at? He where you
hey,
at?
Hey man, hey, y'all was tough, man. When we had them, when it was time to have a social or do a talent show, what was that called? What we call that back in the day, man? Man, when it was time for that, I used to love to come in that auditorium, man. Here come the what was y'all called? The Rude Boys, was it?
Shrewd.
Hey man, when y'all came out, man, I mean that was I was at home pop locking like a mother.
Hey, do you remember this? Yeah, I know it.
I can't hear you.
I said,
hello?
Yeah, I know it.
Damn, does that?
Y'all remember?
Vaguely, but it's slipping right on past. I got to reach out and grab on that. I can't. You guys give me another hand or something.
Remember that science teacher we used to have.
Oh. Now we could.
Yeah.
Well, now he's getting.
Yeah.
Man, this is
that's what he
man.
Was.
Hey. Hey, listen, man. This is real. This is real nice, man. Listen, I can't. I somebody else is probably trying to talk, man. I could do this, man. I could do this every day, all night with you, man. But, man, I got to let somebody else in, man. But I just wanted to bring that up. I wondered if your followers, if they knew, man, how cold you was, man, back there on that dance floor, man.
You ain't the only one that done came on the show and said that. Marcel called. Marcel Good?
Yeah.
He called a couple of times and he talked about, you know, oh yeah, y'all was some bad motherfuckers, y'all was cold, you know. So yeah,
hey,
they know.
Was the coldest man that ever did that shit, man. I was like, damn, man. If y'all had YouTube videos of that shit, man, that shit would be popping right now.
Generally, all there is pictures.
Man,
and you can't
I'll
always
tell you, man.
Get what you need out of a picture. So I mean, you know.
I heard over that one principal we had, Dr. Love, or what was his name, Dr. Love or something?
Yeah.
You remember him? I heard he had passed away.
Yeah, he did, and so did Mr. Hill.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was the one that had him all crazy? He used to talk, man. He used to rhyme and smack your damn back off.
That was Mr. Hill.
Yeah. did you have music class with Mr. West, I think?
No. I had band with Mr. Davis.
Oh, okay. Hey, man, listen, I appreciate your time, man. And in closing, hey, y'all, Listen, my name is Kenny R.C. Carter, and reach out to me if you need me on Facebook or whatever, if you need some help. I want to tell you one more time in closing now, I know you hear me. I know you probably think of some kind of funny type of way about yourself, but I'm telling you right now that it'll pass, man. You got it going on. If you woke up, that's enough to be somebody. You somebody waking up. You are somebody. Please just listen to me. That hurts me. That I'm hurting over a guy that wasn't even my family. So imagine how your family feel about you. You may think they don't give a shit about you. They do. Let you go ahead and die right now. They're going to be sad as a motherfucker, man. Don't do it, man. We love you. Hey, D, man, I'm going to go ahead and end that, man, and I appreciate your time, man.
All right, man. I appreciate you calling in, brother.
Okay, thank you, man.
All right, peace.
Peace.
Always a joy to talk to my brothers and hear them saying some good positive things. Also, what I wanted to talk about was risk factors, and I kind of touched on them when RC was on the line here. Gave you like warning signs of things that you need to look at and pay attention to. Also, risk factors, that's something different. A risk factor is way different than a warning sign. A risk factor is something that figures into higher of someone potentially committing suicide. You got health factors, environmental factors, and historical factors. With historical factors, that could just be something like childhood abuse, some sort of trauma, like I was saying earlier in the show. If there's a family history of suicide and previous attempts of suicide. I know that's not something that you just roll up and ask somebody and just be like, oh, hey, you think about offing yourself? You know, or if you should, don't do that. But, I mean, if it's somebody you suspect, you should watch and you should observe them. Environmental factors, access to lethal means to do harm to yourself. That can include firearms, drugs, a rope, shoot, pills, anything, man. Just those are factors. That's not something you need to know if somebody's suicidal or not to know that that's a factor. If a person has a gun in their house, the factor is there. You see what I'm saying? If it has sleeping pills in their house, the factor is there. Knives, ropes, whatever. Those are factors that can figure in, okay? People who've been harassed, people who've been bullied, you know what I'm saying? That's a serious factor. I don't know if anybody ever watched this show on Netflix. It's called 13 Reasons Why. If you haven't watched it, you should watch it. It gets really in-depth about suicide, and it's basically about this high school girl who commits suicide, and she makes these tapes before she kills herself and tells the people, because it's about 13 people, and each one of them are on this tape, and she tells the people who listen to the tape to pass it on to the next person. It's wild, man. I must say it was really deep, but a lot of the factors were there. I mean, she was bullied, she was harassed, that kind of a thing. So it figures in deep. Relationship problems, stressful events, rejection, divorce, unemployment. These are factors, man. Stuff like that. Exposure, and if you're still listening, RC, exposure to another person's suicide or to graphic or sensationalized accounts of suicide. So, not saying you are, but it's a factor. You see what I'm saying? So, that's why mental health is so important. And then that's a health factor in and of itself. Mental health is another factor. Substance abuse, depression, bipolar, schizophrenia, aggressive personality traits, conduct disorders, anxiety disorders, serious physical health problems, traumatic brain injuries, all of this figures in as a health factor for potential suicide or suicidal ideation. That kind of a thing, man. Like my man RC was saying earlier, I mean, I love y'all, man, and I don't want to see or read or hear about you doing something to yourself. If you are low, I mean low, talk to somebody. If you can't talk to me, talk to somebody you trust. Talk to somebody you feel comfortable talking to. Please do not take your own life. I don't know how much more can be said about that, man. It's just, oh my God. I don't really, especially here in Alaska, man, where people are just offing themselves at a high rate. It's, oh my God. That's like I was talking about. Alaska Native men between the ages of 15 and 24 have the highest rate of suicide among any demographic in the country, with an average of 141.6 suicides per 1,000 each year. These are facts and statistics from the Department of Health and Social Services in Alaska. Youths who are exposed to suicide, again, there it is, there's that factor. Youths who are exposed to suicide or suicidal behaviors are more at risk for attempting suicide, according to the American Association of Suicidology. Damn, that's a thing? The American Association of Suicidology. That's a mouthful. Suicidology is a science. Interesting. Suicide deaths consistently outnumber homicide deaths by a margin of 3-2. See? Told you. More than 90% of people who die by suicide have depression or another diagnosable or treatable mental or substance abuse disorder, according to the AAS. Wow, people. So basically, that's saying 90% of suicides are preventable if you let somebody know you're in a low area. I mean, that's all I can say because, you mean, just like when me and RC was talking here earlier, it's hard to see symptoms. It's hard to see risk factors. You know what I'm saying? 646-668-2268. I'm sitting here talking about suicide, and now I want to talk about the other side. If you got something you want to share, a little experience, a little story, hit me up. Like I said, I'm here. I'm here for like another 15 more minutes. If you want to say something about it, if you don't want to say nothing about it, if you just want to say I'm at a place where I'm not feeling too good, whatever, man. I'm here. I'm here for y'all. Are you worried about, maybe not yourself, but I mean, are you worried about a friend? Are you worried about a family member? You know what I'm saying? What are you supposed to do? Okay, well, according to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, there are 6 steps that you can take if you feel somebody is at risk, okay? And it's all about having an honest conversation with them. And bottom line, some things that you should keep in your conversation when you're talking to people is, one, you really should talk to them in private. Rare is the person who could talk about depression or anxiety that they're feeling and that they are entertaining suicidal ideation in front of an audience. That's probably something to do privately. And two, and I think probably this is the most important thing of all, listen. Listen to their story. Listen to what they have to say. Okay? Three, you need to tell them that you care about them. You know what I'm saying? You need to let them know, regardless of what's going on, if you feel ain't nobody down for you, everybody's against you, not me. I'm your man's in them. You know what I'm saying? So, real talk, I got your back through thick and thin. Four, you need to ask them directly if they are thinking about suicide. If it's not obvious, we ain't got time for all that cryptic, surreptitious, subliminal shit. If you want to know, ask, thinking about committing suicide, yeah or no. If you are, then five, you should encourage them to seek some sort of treatment, whether it's a doctor, a therapist, a counselor, something. I mean, as much as you may want to sit down and talk to them, you don't have the tools. And I don't say that as an insult. I say that as a preventative kind of a thing. You don't have the tools to talk to somebody because you don't know how what you're going to say is going to trigger them. And here's a good rule of thumb to remember when you're talking to somebody who's thinking about committing suicide. If you feel that you can talk somebody off of a ledge, then you can talk somebody out of suicide. Otherwise, don't attempt it. I don't recommend attempting it without some kind of training or some kind of class or something, preferably a degree. Avoid debating the value of life. Avoid minimizing what they're feeling. And especially avoid giving advice. Someone suicidal does not need your advice. They need your understanding and your ear. That's all. If you feel like you want to do more, then you need to go back to school and get a degree as a counselor or a psychologist or some licensed clinician of some sort so that you can talk to people about that kind of thing. Otherwise, I say don't attempt it. If a person is saying that they are feeling suicidal, you want to talk with them seriously, and you don't want to leave them. If someone tells you they are thinking about committing suicide, do not leave their side. Stay with them. Remove lethal stuff out of their immediate vicinity or anything that they can think of that they might possibly use to harm themselves. And then again, boom, call that National Suicide Hotline, 1-800-273-8355. And that's the one I gave y'all, 1-800-273-TALK, or text TALK 2741741 to talk in dealing with that. And if you have to, escort them to someplace, to a counselor's office or to a mental health facility or to an emergency room or wherever they need to go so that they can get the help they need. Bottom line, man, there's no reason for you to take your life. But if that's where you at, please, please, please talk to somebody. In closing, I just want to say, man, all life is precious, man. All life is precious, regardless of what you feel, regardless of what you dealt with, regardless of what you're going through, precious, including yours. If you're not suicidal, hooray, congratulations. I like that on you. Don't be suicidal. Don't get to the point where you're feeling suicidal. That's it, y'all. I mean, have I said enough? I think I've said enough. I'm really, like I said, I've been feeling some kind of way about this, and this has kind of been therapeutic for me. I've gotten some stuff off of my chest. I've given some information. I've shared. I've opened up. I'm good, man. 100%. Join me next on Be Real with D Real when we will be talking about, do you need to be affiliated with an organization to be considered woke? Don't call in. That's next week. I am specifically referring to anybody who feels like they're awake and conscious and are part of an organization that specializes in awakeness and consciousness. Black Israelites, New Gods, I'm referring to you. It's an interesting concept. It's an interesting thought process. And we're going to talk about it a little bit. I don't want to dig off in nobody's chest or make nobody feel no kind of way about me, and I don't want to feel no kind of way about nobody, but sometimes we get real up in this piece. Scratch that. All the time, we get real up in this piece. If you with it, come on ahead. talk to me. If you ain't, hold your peace. This has been Be Real with D Real for Thursday, January 24th, 2019. Like I said, I'll be back next week. We're going to be talking to the woke folk. Until then, y'all be good and be good to each other.
Peace.